tasty.
Well, hello everyone. It's been an absolutely crazy 24 hours, 12 hours even, because after Donald Trump launched the strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities, demanding their unconditional surrender, and also calling for regime change, and saying "make Iran great again" and all of this stuff that he was spouting literally just a day ago. Last night, he then declared that a ceasefire agreement had been reached with all parties, and it would go into effect in about 12 hours. And then it was announced to the world that a ceasefire had been agreed between Iran and Israel. And then, in that 12-hour period, an extraordinary number of things happened, because the tables in MAGA world turned, and all of the voices like Tucker Carlson and Bannon and so on, who had been against the neocons, declared victory, that MAGA was back and we're so back and all of this. The Nothing Ever Happens chud was declared to have been resurrected like The Undertaker, and to have come out of his coffin. And the neocons like Mark Levin and so on, were unhappy and they were being dunked on. Basically, the Tucker Carlson side was declaring victory. Nothing Ever Happens chud was back. Iran also, this is easy to be forgotten about in all of the hullabaloo, launched strikes on a US base in Qatar. Apparently this was done with a cooperation of the Qatar government, who are also said to have brokered this ceasefire deal. It was one of those, like after Soleimani, where, Iran gave America a heads up, basically, we're going to hit this base, it's going to be at these times. They use their old missiles, old ballistics, not their recent hypersonics or any of their best tech. One's designed basically to fail. They only launched like six of them. Nobody was killed. It was kayfabe. It was like a pro wrestling maneuver, pre-scripted event, symbolic gesture. Now, remember, Trump had said that if Iran does absolutely anything whatsoever to retaliate, all hell would break loose. Iran did retaliate. And then Trump said, look, okay, they've let it out now. I'll let this fly. There's going to be this ceasefire. And he basically declared world peace. He basically said, congratulations, world. And these are all on Truth Social, by the way. Not even on Twitter. On Truth Social, he's just truthing these things out. And declaring, basically, that he'd solved the situation. Then, to make matters even more confusing, the Iranian foreign minister came out and said, actually, the Iranians have not agreed to any ceasefire. But if Israel stop firing, we'll stop firing at them from a certain time. Then, to make matters even more confusing, Israel claimed, also I should mention that all during this time, Israel was still launching attacks on Tehran and on Iran. They at some point finished doing that, and Netanyahu announced that he had signed the ceasefire. Iran denied that they'd even been contacted by Trump's team or anything like that, and denied that they had signed any ceasefire. But they said, if Israel stop, we'll stop. Then Israel, and then this has only happened an hour ago, so this is a rapidly developing story, claimed that Iran had immediately broken the ceasefire and that they were actually striking Tel Aviv with new ballistic missiles, and that they would be hell to pay, and now the IDF is going to be attacking Iran. Trump had declared the end of what he was calling the 12-day war, and basically the people were calling for the Nobel Peace Prize and all of this, but it seems like the war is back on. So I don't know if this is day one of the second Israel-Iran war. But then, to make matters even more confusing, the Iranian Security Council, the National Security Council of Iran, announced that they had now signed the ceasefire agreement. What the hell is going on? Nobody knows. So, I can give you some of my thoughts, if you would like, at this time. I think that this whole thing, Trump's ceasefire, Netanyahu agreeing to it, the claiming that Iran is striking them, Iran saying they hadn't been contacted, what it all smacks of is carny bullshit. Carny, carnival, carny comes from the world of pro wrestling, to refer to carnival sideshow, okay? Carny is basically kind of just cheap tricks played to pull one over on the rubes. Now, from Iran's point of view, I don't really understand why the mullahs, why the Ayatollah would have ever gone for this ceasefire. For one, the fundamentals of this war have not changed from the start. Iran is a much bigger country than Israel, and also it has more missiles than Israel have anti-missile defense. So, even though Israel is attacking Iran and damaging sites in Tehran and elsewhere, Iran is also has been causing significant damage to Tel Aviv, Haifa, and various other sites in Israel. They've been attacking military targets. It was reported, for example, that they'd struck the Mossad HQ and killed the head of Mossad as well. All of these, who knows? It's fog of war, right? And both sides want to minimize any losses they've taken, and they want to play up, they want to play up their own side. This is what happens in every war, as we've learned from living through Ukraine versus Russia, right? But we can see from the images, we can see from what has been happening, that Israel has been taking significant damage. Now, of course, they've got social media game too, and through their influencers, they've been doing things like, oh, here's a video of, this beach and, life is going on as normal, aren't they so brave type thing. Well, of course, they have put a media blackout on any images coming out of Israel from day three of the conflict. So, as somebody who's played hundreds of hours of strategy war games, like Total War and so on, my assessment is that if you were the mullahs, if you were the Ayatollah, there is absolutely no reason to sign a ceasefire. Okay, there are two massive reasons not to sign the ceasefire, okay, or three actually. One is that they will, if they carry on at the current rate of firing missiles at Israel, as Israel fire back at them, they will win that war of attrition, because Israel can't sustain what we've been seeing indefinitely. It's probably why they're running with this ceasefire bullshit now, okay? So that's one thing. And the gamer in me would be really offended if Iran really had signed this ceasefire, because it's like, well, why would you give up this structural advantage you have in that conflict, okay? Second thing is that the Americans, and Trump in particular, have been proven to be completely untrustworthy over the past 2 weeks. Just count how many lies, open lies, Trump has told since this started. Oh, we want to talk. Oh, actually, we were working with Netanyahu all along. Oh, now you've got 2 week window. Now I'm going to sneak attack you. Now there's this ceasefire. It's all bullshit. There's so much crap. And from the Iranian point of view, from the point of view of the Ayatollah, he is dealing with an enemy who is completely untrustworthy in all ways, right? And an enemy that has, just a couple of days ago, called for his direct overthrow and called for regime change against his own regime. So dealing with a foe that is deceitful, that always lies, that, engages in violations of international law and so on, there's just no reason to play by their rulebook at all. And there's no reason to sign this ceasefire, okay? And then the third reason that they'd be stupid to go for this is because it would give Israel and it would give America time to regroup, to rearm, to bolster their anti-missile defenses, to get things in order. So why would you want to give them time? So all of those things, to me, signal that, they'd be stupid. If they really have signed the ceasefire, they'd be stupid. From the Israeli point of view, also, it's very difficult to see why they would go for this or why Netanyahu, if they didn't have the idea of immediately blaming Iran, of breaking the ceasefire, and then, just basically to claim, oh, look, they're the aggressors, even though they started this whole thing. From Israel's point of view, they've achieved none, and I mean none, of their major objectives. Despite what J.D. Vance and Trump and all of these clowns are saying, we know, they know, and the whole world knows that those strikes that were done by the B-2s did not actually solve the nuclear program issue. We know that they moved the stuff out. We know that the sites were not completely obliterated, as Trump said. But they're still trying to maintain the kayfabe that sorted the whole issue out in the media and in their various messages, right? Trump is acting as if the whole thing is sorted. It's not. So that's one objective that has not been sorted from Netanyahu's point of view. Second thing is that the regime is still there. This whole thing was meant to be about regime change, right? So the categorical win condition for Israel and for America, since Trump literally said this is about regime change, would be regime change. If there's not a regime change, if you don't have the puppet Kuk Shah in place, replacing the Ayatollah, as was promised, then it's an L. And what can't the Israelis take ever is an L, right? And I don't know if Netanyahu's political career could take an L. This is like his lifetime's work. So it's a rock and a hard place, because it's existential for Netanyahu and it's existential for the Ayatollah. So the idea that a tweet storm from Donald Trump in the middle of the night could bring about an end to this is fantasy. It's just kind of fantasy politics. So what has actually gone on? Why did Trump do this? What is actually happening? That's the whole point of this video. What the fuck is happening? Honestly, I think Trump is trying to do two things with this, okay? He knows that unilaterally declaring on his Truth Social that there's been a ceasefire is not actually going to end this conflict. He knows that. But he also knows that the markets at the moment react to anything he says, because he's the president. And the oil prices were starting to peak yesterday until Trump said that, and then they nosedived again. So he was keeping the price of oil down, controlling the markets with his basically manipulation of public sentiment and of market sentiment, because he's the president of the USA. That's the first thing that he was doing. Remember, they struck on Saturday because the markets are closed over the weekend. Once you see this, you can't unsee it, because it explains a lot of what Trump does. And he's got a lot of rich billionaire friends too, who make bank off all of these moves. Second thing that he was doing was bringing his base, which he'd lost over the weekend, and as many as 4/5 of his base were turning against him, right, as they thought he'd gone neocon, bringing all of those back on board. Tucker Carlson, for example, immediately made a show. He put out a tweet saying, thank God, and he made a show praising Trump, calling him the great peacemaker. He's back on board. Bannon's back on board. All of the people, sorry for doubting you, Donald. Oh, he's pulled it out again. The base is back, baby. Right? Nothing ever happens. Chud has been resurrected. Yada, yada, yada. So, he's able then to try to, get the rubes, get the marks back on side. What is going to happen? Honestly, God knows. At this point, who the hell knows what's happening? You know, they talk about reality and hyper-reality. This past 48-hour period, it's just crazy. And I tell you, I'm not sure if America as a country can indefinitely sustain a situation where the words of the American president just don't matter. They just don't matter. Trump demanded unconditional surrender. He categorically said, if you retaliate Iran against what we've done to you, you know, it's going to be over for you. And he called for regime change. And then, in the space of a day, completely U-turned and unilaterally declared world peace. I mean, it's like, you come in and you go in. I mean, if the words of the president don't matter, it creates maximum uncertainty, maximum confusion. Is there a ceasefire? Isn't there a ceasefire? Was there ever a ceasefire? I don't bloody know. And if I don't know, nobody else knows either. You don't know whether you come in or go in. And maybe this is a whole strategy. It's like drunken master kung fu or something. Who knows? Maybe it's absolute genius 4D chess. Maybe he's just a madman. Maybe he's like Harvey Two-Face flicking a coin and it just, you know, whether, if, oh, it's going to land heads. Right, now I'm a neocon. Now it lands tails. Now I'm back to MAGA. I mean, who the hell knows? Anyway, just a quick update, friends. I'll probably be back later with a stream to try to figure out if there's any more information comes in. Pick up a course at the academic agency, promo code Scorcher. Level up all of your knowledge in various different fields, econ, writing, grammar, rhetoric, Shakespeare even, and I'll catch you next time. It's the Academic Agency Summer Sale. Use the promo code Scorcher. 25% off all courses. Scorcher. Get it now. Scorcher. 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 Promo code Scorcher. 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 Buy it now. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.